Please open your Bibles to the New Testament as we will read Paul's letter, the book of Romans, the letter of Romans, chapter 8, and we'll read the verses 18 through 39. Romans 8, 18 through 39. After that, we'll confess our faith, and then after that, let us sing from Psalter Selection 247, the stanzas 1 and 2. Hear then God's holy, inspired word, Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it, with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So far, the Word of God. And the ICRC, by the way, stands for International Conference of Reformed Churches. And at this conference, we met with a large number of pastors from a large part of the world, different parts of this world, Reformed pastors, some from free countries, and some from persecuted countries. And for me, one of the highlights, well, there were a number of highlights, but certainly one of the highlights was that I heard one pastor from Indonesia speaking about his experiences in where he lived. And I believe his name was Marianus P. Wang, if I'm not mistaken. And this pastor addressed the conference, and he spoke of the great persecution that his congregation had to endure in Indonesia, particularly because of the Muslim population. And as he continued to speak, you could see on his face something of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the remarkable statements I found was that, you know, the Holy Spirit is a teacher. And it is true that all of us have to be in the school of the Holy Spirit in order to be taught, especially when we go through difficulties. But he says, you know, the persecution is not just the school of the Holy Spirit, but it is the university of the Holy Spirit. Because there we are taught what it means to live the Christian life. And then I had the privilege as well to have a talk with him. I went for a walk with him, and then he explained to me in a little bit more detail what it meant to be persecuted, but also what it meant for the people to draw close to God. And he says, you know, when you draw close to God, you have no other choice but you begin to sing. You begin to sing. And I was reminded of the little booklet, and no doubt you may have it in your library as well, written by Faith Cook, Singing in the Fire. And if you haven't read it, I can warmly recommend it to your reading. But this singing that becomes part of life, particularly in the Muslim world in these parts where there's persecution by the Muslims or others, where those who are persecuted turn to singing in order to encourage one another, in order to comfort one another, and above all, of course, the singing is in order to give praise to the Lord our God. And I believe that Brother Postma was also there, and he can also, I trust, agree to that. Now, this evening hour, I do want to speak to you, therefore, about what it means to sing in persecution. And I give the theme, the title, Christ Gives a Song in Persecution. And then I first want to say something about a song of suffering, and secondly, a song of admonition, and then lastly, a song of hope. And so first then, a song of suffering. Now, congregation, when the Apostle Paul wrote the second letter to Timothy, he was then already a prisoner in Rome, and he was awaiting execution. He knew this. It wouldn't be very long anymore. The end of his suffering was in sight. In fact, he also writes about that in chapter 4 and verse 8, and where he says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Soon the Apostle Paul would be called to out of his dungeon to appear before the final judgment as well, and no doubt he would have to make that death march into the Roman arena from where never a Christian has returned alive. And Paul could then also say, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And then Christ gives him a song to sing during this particular time particularly. And it is to be found precisely here in our text when he says, if we died with him, that is, if we died with Christ, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. And with these words, the Apostle Paul then begins to sing a song of persecution. Now, the Apostle Paul is very much a realistic about persecution, because after all, this is what the Christian will meet up with sooner or later. He tells us this already in chapter 3 and verse 12. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will, not maybe, but will suffer persecution. And Timothy So Paul felt Timothy had to know this because he too would one day experience this as well. Now let's put it into today's perspective for a moment. Isn't it true that for many years you and I have lived in relative quiet, peace and tranquility, a sheltered life therefore? Persecution, well, we've heard about that. It has been prayed about it regularly, yes, and perhaps we do it personally as well, that we pray for the persecuted brothers and sisters out there somewhere. And it's good to do so. Encourage fathers and mothers, encourage your children to pray for the persecuted church. Perhaps we have convinced ourselves, though, that it will really never happen with us. After all, we are here in Canada, North America. It won't ever happen here. However, God's Word reminds us, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Will suffer. And so the question is, do you desire to live a godly life? Do you want to confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and live Christ-like, being guided by His Word and Holy Spirit? Then you must also count on it, dear brothers or sisters, whether you are young or old, that you will suffer persecution at one time or another. Today, the reality of persecution is looming larger and larger. We know this. Statistics tell us that persecution has never been as widespread in places and in numbers than it is today. The growing threat of Islam, particularly, and the horrific cruelty that ISIS has shown could easily land on our shores as well. And with it comes the fulfillment then of Paul's prophecy, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Therefore, as one saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be necessary for you and for me to learn to sing. To learn to sing the song of persecution. Even the song of our text. It is, as I have stressed already, it is a song of suffering. And notice how the Apostle Paul starts it off with, if we die with Him, if we endure. And the implication here is that there will be some sort of suffering involved if we endure. Could also be translated as if we suffer. And dear people, those ifs are not maybes, like maybe it will hit us, maybe not. No. Those ifs, you see, are the reality of the Christian life. As a Christian, you will suffer persecution to some degree, and you must therefore be well versed in this particular song. Well, what does it mean then to have died with Christ? It is often translated as reference to our union with Christ, and that our sins have therefore been nailed on the cross of Calvary with Christ. Now, true enough, but at the same time, there is more to it, you see. Far more to it, in fact. Because when we consider this being dead or having died with Christ, it means that we are marked for death by the enemies of God. And this is really what is happening, isn't it, in some extreme parts of the Islamic world already. Christians, you see, they were marked for death. But what ISIS did in Iraq and Syria and some of the other places as well. And at the first opportune time, such marked Christians would then meet their fate. The men were usually put to death. The women and the girls were then turned into slaves, often sex slaves. And dear people, again the question is to be asked, are you holding these brothers and sisters up in your prayers as they are still being threatened in some countries in this fashion, as I've just described for you? They, as Paul says elsewhere, they stand in jeopardy every hour. And with Paul, they can say, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. They're the soldiers, see, whom the Apostle John saw in a vision while he was on the island of Patmos. When he speaks of the souls of those who have been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God. Again, are we praying for these people? These men and women, these boys and girls. Now, presently, by and large, they are people way far away in other continents. But does the Bible not teach us that when one member of the body suffers, the whole body suffers? Do we feel something of their suffering, dear people? Do we weep with them? And do we pray for them? But can we also sing with them at times? Now, as I indicated already, persecution by and large has not come to our shores yet. Although faith has reached some individual Christians who have gone there. And maybe I can just jog your memory for a moment. You remember perhaps the man by the name of James Foley, an American journalist who was executed by ISIS, I believe a couple of years ago. In a letter to his parents, he wrote, I pray for you that you stay strong and to believe. And I know that you are thinking of me and you're praying for me. Now, according to his parents, he was a Christian. And I believe this as well, because one of the pictures that we saw of him showed a very calm look on his face while the executor was standing right behind him with a knife in his hand. But as I'm speaking, such persecution as such has not come in full force to our shores as yet. And dear people, make no mistake about it, it is not our greatness, it is not our wisdom, it is not our strength, you see, and it is certainly not the strength of our country's Christianity or the strength of our country's morality that is keeping persecution away from us. Because we too have fallen as a country, as a nation, as a society. And therefore it is only by the grace of God that up till now we have seen very little of it as yet. But you and I at the same time need to become aware and beware, congregation. The danger is on our doorsteps. So far, it is at a distance from us. Or, if there is persecution, and I won't deny there are elements of persecution sort of in the air as well, but it's still rather mild. But we need to be alert to the fact that it is persecution and it is on the rise. Therefore, dear people, do not close your eyes. Do not remain ignorant of this fact, because the Lord Jesus Christ Himself says that it will overtake us. How? As a thief in the night. But now, in a real spiritual sense, as I indicated already before, we are already marked for death. By who? By whom? By the devil himself. As Christians, you see, you and I, we must know that we are, in fact, on the devil's death list. Or, say it this way, you and I, we are on the hit list of his demonic forces. Let me just give you an example again from the past and what we've learned. As I mentioned already, ISIS was in the habit of capturing a village and then painting on the homes of the Christians a large red circle with the Arabic letter N in the middle of it. And that letter N stood for the Nazarene. And of course, the Nazarene is what is meant by Jesus Christ. And this was the mark of death for Christians in ISIS-controlled territories. Well, now, similarly, in the eyes of the devil, Christians are marked Nazarene. That is, with Christ Jesus of Nazareth. And the Christian so marked is a target for the devil and for his demonic agents. Why? Well, because he wants Christians silenced. He wants to be rid of the Christians. And you begin to see this already happening in our land as well. And so, my brother or sister, be alert to the fact that your name is on the hit list of the devil. Although he cannot undo your salvation, he will do his best to make you look like a despised person in the eyes of the world. Make you look like one who is very intolerant. Make you look like one who is phobic about everything except, of course, Christianity. The devil, if possible, will render you inactive and unservable in the kingdom of God. And how has the Lord Jesus Christ not experienced those persecuting attacks of the enemies? You know that. He too was on the death list, on the hit list, even from the very moment that he was born. King Herod, so we read, for instance, in Matthew chapter 2, sought the young child to destroy him. There it began already. From that moment on, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was in danger. Physical attacks increased until at last, the Jews and the Romans got it that far that they had him hanging on a cross, dying a death reserved only for the worst of criminals. But the spiritual attacks went parallel with the physical attacks. Now, often did the devil not try to get the Lord Jesus to stumble and to fall or to drop his God-sent mission, saving sinners. The devil, in the most real sense of the word, therefore, wanted Jesus dead. But now, and isn't it amazing? But now Christians can sing of it. And the first part of this song is a song of suffering. If we died with him, if we endure. You see, being dead with Jesus Christ and suffering, they go together. They fit together like a hand in a glove. If we are marked for death through Jesus Christ and with Jesus Christ, we must count on suffering sometime as well. Now, you might ask, well, what does Paul mean here with suffering? Well, this, of course, has to do with Christian persecution. Paul says, if we died with him, if we endure. And the word endure, translated in the King James, for instance, as suffer, means to patiently, perseveringly endure suffering. And this is the sort of suffering endurance that you and I need to train ourselves in today and in the time to come. And this is not only in preparation for any kind of persecution when imprisonment or torture or death would stare us in the face, but this is also to be part of your and my training when the devil has it in for us in subtle or sometimes not so subtle attacks by a growing Christian phobic and anti-Christian society. We must then also suffer, endure, and bear patiently and persevere. And so Christ gives us a song in persecution. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. Well, that takes us already to the second point as we consider a song of admonition. Because listen to what follows right after. If we deny him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Now, as you know, through experience, one of the greatest dangers in any type of persecution that brings on any sort of suffering, it is the temptation to deny Christ and to act faithless. And when I say through experience, even when we are not persecuted, how easy it is to deny Christ or to just remain silent when we should speak of Christ. To deny Christ is one of the greatest dangers, particularly during times of persecution. It is one of the greatest temptations that the devil lays at our feet, you see. Deny Jesus Christ and you will escape. ISIS has used that on Christians. Deny your Christianity. Embrace Islam or you'll be executed. And this is how it was already in the early days, you see, as well, of the church. Maybe the boys and girls know the story of Polycarp. Polycarp was a preacher, an 86-year-old preacher from the city of Smyrna. And one day, the Romans captured him and took him into the Roman arena in order to be executed. But the devil, at the same time, came with temptation to Polycarp. As the Roman governor said to Polycarp, "You know, Polycarp, why don't you deny Christ? And when you do that, I will let you go." Thankfully, Polycarp did not take the bait. He looked the Roman governor straight in the eyes. And he declared to everyone to hear in the arena at that time, with a strong voice, 86 years I have served him. And he has never done me any wrong. How can I curse my king who has saved me? I am a Christian." Consequently, Polycarp was executed. But as the fires were kindled around him, he praised Jesus Christ. And it could be heard from his lips, "Yet I bless you because you have deemed me worthy to take my part in the number of martyrs. For this and everything I praise you, I bless you, I glorify you." This was a Christian singing in the fire. Polycarp refused to deny Jesus Christ. Now our text, dear people, is an admonition not to deny Jesus Christ. Not to turn your back to Him. Definitely not to curse Him or give in to those who might possibly threaten you. Because if you do, you see, if you do, you will be in a worse bind than being put to death by your persecutors. Because then the time will come that Christ will deny you. And unless you repent before you die, the Lord Jesus Christ will in fact bar you from entrance into heaven. Because He will then say to you, and these are the words that He Himself has spoken, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And to be sure, this is an admonition that anyone who has not yet sincerely confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, or because of an insincere confession, deny Him under the pressure of persecution, this is what you will have to keep in mind. But our text's admonition also comes to us who have very sincerely confessed our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. It comes to us as well. And how so? Well, let me just take you back in time for a moment. Remember the time when you made public confession of faith? No doubt you could speak words of love about Him. No doubt you could speak of the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you would want everyone to hear what you were experiencing. You could speak of His love as one. You saw Him as a precious Savior. Perhaps you were once on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, as the rich Christ for you, the poor sinner. But somewhere down the road, your testimony of Jesus Christ has fallen silent. You seem to have lost your first love. Your zeal for the Lord and for His house seem to have fizzled out. What has happened? You might ask, what has happened? Surely, physical violent persecution, as we hear of it in other places, could not have made that change in you. You may still enjoy a fair amount of religious freedom. You are not yet on the death list of ISIS or some other persecutor, or some lone wolf for that matter. But perhaps spiritual persecution has laid you low already. Have you perhaps become aware that you are on the devil's hit list and you have been dealt some blows already from the devil or one of his agents, perhaps by way of a temptation? And you have not been able to stand up to that particular temptation and you have fallen for it. Has your fall into sin made you now a victim of the devil? I dare say yes. And since then, your witness of Jesus Christ has fallen silent in your life, hasn't it? Again, that is most likely the case. Must you now perhaps lament like David, "While I kept guilty silence, my strength is spent with grief. Thy hand, O God, Thy hand is heavy on me. My soul can find no relief." Dear ones, if this is your plight, confess your fall into sin, and you will find, as David found it, that the Lord will graciously forgive you. Don't let sin unconfessed turn you into a silent, grieving Christian. Find the joy of salvation again, even in the forgiveness of sins. How blessed is he whose trespass has freely been forgiven. That's the joy of being forgiven. Because remember that when you are dead in Christ, which means having a living connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, you must then also be dead with Christ to the pleasures of sin. That is really what this song is all about as well. And when you now see the devil come at you with this or the other temptation, and when you sense that there's a drawing power coming from that temptation, why don't you fall on your knees and cry out to God and say, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Why don't you run away like Joseph once did? And he ran with his feet. You see, you and I, we have to get away from the temptations. But if the devil cannot get you to fall for this or that temptation and so turn you into a silenced Christian, he will perhaps persecute you in some other way and try to make you into an unprofitable Christian. He might be able to do that through discouraging you or by making you disappointed with other church people around you. Then you begin to see the faults of the others around you so much, and it begins to bother you to no end, and you begin to draw back and draw back into a shell. The devil got his way. And he silenced another Christian. But again, dear people, you must not be overcome by that sort of persecution, spiritual persecution. Don't go into hiding, but endure. Don't deny Christ the gift of witness. Learn to bear patiently the faults and the shortcomings of other Christians and be steadfast as an enduring Christian. You see, because that will train you not to deny Christ when real persecution becomes more physical. Our text is a song of persecution, and as such, it should be an encouragement to you to endure, to face temptations, to stay the course of your witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. Remember, He was not only persecuted by those who hated Him, but in fact, He was also let down at times by those who had pledged their allegiance to Him. And therefore, trust in God's promise, as it is recorded for us in 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. You see, God actually makes it possible for you to sing in persecution. There's one more thing that I want to consider with you briefly. And also from our text, as a song of persecution, it is a song of hope. And listen again very carefully to our text. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Now, you who died with Christ and are now, through His sacrifice and death, in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you may have the sure hope that you shall live with Him. In fact, you shall even reign with Him. And that is the hope that is to be found in our text as well. Persecuted Christians, you see, of former days, they often sang as they were taken to the Roman arena. They sang because they knew they were about to live and to reign with Christ their Savior. Persecuted Christians of former days, they often stood also at the graveside of a fellow Christian. But they could sing nevertheless, because he or she has gone to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and reign with Him in eternal glory. Now this, you see, this is the hope. This is the perspective that we, you and I, as Christians may have. Because the persecuted Christians will someday, or rather the persecution of Christians, will someday come to an end. And those who have persecuted the Christians, and you and I know that it is not only ISIS, but there are others in this world as well. Well, they will meet their fate. They will meet their fate as they will have to face an almighty God on the day of judgment. And so let's leave judgment up to God. Because unless they repent of their dreadful wicked ways, God will deal with them in fearful righteousness, as Christ Himself has said. You can read of that in Matthew 24, verse 51, that He will actually cut them asunder, and that He will send them to a place of weeping and of gnashing of teeth. Imagine. Therefore, dear people, be sure, be absolutely sure that you have died with Christ, and that you are in fellowship with Him. Be sure of that. Place your full trust, place your full confidence, all of your faith in Him, who is faithful, who will not deny Himself, and He will not deny you. That is, He, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is true to His Word, and He is true to His attachment to you as well. Go, therefore. Go and endure. Train yourself in the song that Christ has given by way of our text here. The world, it does face, as you know, a very uncertain future. But for you and for me, who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, our future is secure. It is settled. One day, we shall live with Him. One day we shall reign with Him. The hit list And the death lists of the devil and of his angels will then, as it were, be ripped up in little pieces. And that will then also be one of the things we will be singing about. Now, in closing, rather unusual, but in closing, I want to read Scripture with you again. Some parts from Romans chapter 8. Now, I will begin at verse 18, then I'll jump to the verses 35 through 39. And with that, I want to bring it to a close, because I cannot possibly say it any better than what the inspired Apostle Paul could say in these words. And so let us read it again from Romans chapter 8. And then verse 18, first of all. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And then the verses 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.